good morning and happy new year, people. I think we've heard it a couple times. That'll be the last time I say it to you, I promise. I'm sorry. 362 days, 3 days, something like that. Happy New Year. I really hope that you all did have a blessed New Year, and 2022 is going to be awesome. Am I correct? Thank you very much. You want to learn how it's going to be awesome? Yes. We're going to be determined and resilient, unwavering people. Yes? Yes. We're going to read an awesome story today to show the resiliency and the determination and unwaveringness that we're going to need to get through, I don't know, moment to moment, day to day, month to month, year to year. Who here does New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. A couple people. Okay. That actually is about right on the percentage of Americans who do New Year's resolutions, but it's a little less than the norm. Does anybody know where we came up with this New Year's resolution thing? Yeah, neither did I. Till I read up on it. And let me enlighten you today. You're excited to know something you could care less about, correct? Yes. I'm going to call the first part of my sermon the New Year's resolution, a history. You're excited about that, right? Thank you very much. All right, first I want to go over what resolution means, because that's going to give us some big time insight on what resolution about New Year's resolutions. Resolution, you're going to hear me say this throughout the sermon, is a firm decision to do or not do something. It's a firm decision to do or not do something. We have a pastor who made a New Year's resolution. I'm going to make sure that you made this firm decision to do or not do something, right? She's scared now. Okay. The root word is resolve, which means determined and unwavering. Okay, so those are two words that you need to know. Determined, unwavering, it's a firm decision to do or not do something. Human people have been doing this for thousands of years. Did you know that? Of course you didn't. Let me enlighten you. For thousands of years, we've been doing New Year's resolutions. I had no idea. The ancient Babylonians did this 4,000 years ago. Right, huh? Right? You're welcome. If you ever get on Jeopardy, you might be able to answer this question. They did this as part of their New Year's celebration, in which they made promises to their pagan gods, little g, just so you know, little g, to pay their debts and return objects they had borrowed.
Okay.
They would strive to keep these promises to stay in favor with the little g gods, because you don't want to make the little g gods mad, because then life is not good. So they made these resolutions, these decisions, these promises, if you will, to their little g gods so that they would have a good life. I put down in my notes, or else. You kind of get that idea, right? Early Christians even did New Year's resolutions then. Pretty cool. Anybody heard of John Wesley? He's the guy that started the Methodist Church. He used to have a New Year's celebration where Christians would come together, they would sing, they would pray, they would read scriptures. Kind of sounds like our New Year's Eve thing that we do here, yeah. And they made promises to God, big G, the God, to be spiritually better people. I like that. I like that a lot. Then we get into the more secular, what you think of probably New Year's resolutions, where we're going to do things today. It's all about what? Self-improvement a lot of times, right? I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to be nicer to my wife. I'm going to do less screen time. Stop a bad habit. Start a good habit, blah, blah, blah. All about ourselves. It's very self-centered in our secular world now. The numbers on New Year's resolutions are not impressive. 45% of us make them, so I was kind of hoping half of you would raise your hands, but not even half did. 45% of us make them, and of those 45%, 8 are successful. So out of 100 people, yes, Pastor, you're making a firm decision, we understand. Of 100 people that make their resolution on January 1st, 8 of them by December 31st have succeeded in their resolution. But if we go back to the word, I thought it was a firm decision to do something or not do something. In my mind, maybe we talk about that the New Year's resolution should be a New Year's suggestion, right? Like, thank you. I'll make a New Year's suggestion and maybe it won't happen or not. The word means to be determined and unwavering. So that's what New Year's resolutions are about. There's like 92% of the people that don't, that make the resolutions that have forgotten that they're supposed to be determined and unwavering people. It's hard though, but anyway. All right, so whether you make a New Year's resolution or not, this sermon is for you. So if you didn't raise your hand, you're still going to listen to me, okay? Thank you. We need to be a more determined people in general, okay? We need to be unwavering individuals, whether we've made that promise or not. We need to stick to our decisions when we make them, because we make decisions all the time to do things. And we need to stick to it. I'm talking about all areas of our life, and I'm talking about all throughout the year, not just January 1st. We don't have to wait till January 1 to make these decisions. And the story that came to mind about some really creative, stubborn people, that I'll call them stubborn, but they're really determined, and I love it about these people, is in Luke 5. So in Luke 5, starting at verse 17 through 20, and then I'll go to 24 to 26, but nonetheless, I'll get to that in a minute. We see a story of a paralyzed man, who had a really great group of friends who were determined to get him some help. This is the kind of determination, this story is the kind of determination that we need each and every single day. Okay? So Luke 5, 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Boom, right through the ceiling. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, I want to jump to the end of 24 because Jesus talks to the Pharisees here because they don't like this at all. That's a different sermon for a different day. He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." These friends are the bomb. These are great friends. You guys all want friends like this this paralytic man had? Yeah, I'll take 100 of those friends. Absolutely. They made a firm decision, as we've determined that resolution means, to do something to help their friend. They were unwavering and determined, we're going to get this guy in front of Jesus because he's going to heal him. But when they get there, they can't get to Jesus. Oh my goodness, tons of people. They can't go through. But they figured out a way. They sure were problem solvers. There were a few characteristics here that I love about these people. First, they were very creative. You gotta imagine, like even just imagine your home, and it's busting at the seams with people. Like Jesus was super popular. He's healing people left and right. There's so many healings that we read about in the Gospels. There's a trillion times more probably that weren't even written down and documented. He is a popular guy, and people are flocking to him, and just, he is teaching, he's preaching, and imagine your home just, like, so packed you can't even get in, and, like, out on your yard, into the streets. So they walk up with this guy, and they're like, oh, man, wow, that's a busy happening place. But they didn't let it deter them. They were like, okay, so I can't get in through the front door. Let's see how I'm going to get this guy in. The back door, oh my, that's packed. The side window, oh, can't get through there. Let's go through the ceiling. Creative, right? In life, stuff happens to us, whether it's the beginning of the year, middle of the year, or end of the year. And we have to, when we have made a decision, a firm decision to do something, sometimes we have to get a little creative, don't we? I was trying to think of an example in my life, and I thought of my dad, because my dad is like the most creative guy I can think of. When you give him a problem, he can figure something out. And most of the time, I think when I was growing up and I saw him problem solve, I have that characteristic now too, which I'm so grateful for. But I think he did it because it was out of necessity. Like, he needed to figure this out. He's raising family, and he's got to figure out how to do this plumbing or whatever it was. But there's one time I can think of, well, I wasn't around because it was when he was in high school, but I was told, and I confirmed through a text this morning, that Dad, he lived almost 7 miles out of town, and he couldn't get to basketball practice. And so instead of saying, oh, I can't get to basketball practice, he hopped on his bike and rode 7 miles into basketball practice, a high school kid. Now, I got to be honest, I love basketball, but I don't know if I would have done that. And if you've ever been in the Midwest in basketball season, November, December, January, February, it's not the greatest of weathers. It's not like going out for a nice six mile bike ride. Plus, it's on gravel roads the whole entire time. So anybody rode a bike on a gravel road? Yeah, it ain't fun. So I'm like, oh, Dad was creative. He needed to get to basketball practice. For one reason or another, my grandparents couldn't get him there, so I got a two-wheel bike here. I'll go 7 miles to go into practice. I'd have been exhausted by the time I got there. Forget practice for me. But when things come up like that, you can either say, you have two options. You can say, oh, nope, not going to do it. Just, I'm done. I'm going to stay home today. Or you can say, okay, let me get creative. How can I get into this house? How can I get this? I've made a firm decision to do something. We know that whether we've made a resolution or not, or a decision, whenever we make a decision to do anything, January, June, or November, we're going to come across an obstacle, correct? Yeah. And we can't give up. Just like these people. When you want to give up, think of these people. They lowered him through the roof. I'm sure I can figure something out. They also, the second thing I thought of is they took action. They didn't just wait around for something to happen for them, to them. They saw the problem, they came up with the solution, and then they actually did that thing, right? They could have just sat outside and said, well, we'll just wait here for Jesus. If he comes out, he comes out. Nope, they did something. They took their friend to the person who's going to heal him of being paralyzed. I looked up also, I Googled, reasons why people fail at their New Year's resolutions. Number 4, too much thinking and not enough doing. Right? You got to do something. My goodness. We're making decisions to do. Or not do, but you get what I'm saying here. Being a resolved person means that at times you need to act. And sometimes that action also takes courage. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. I'm sure it was a little overwhelming to see this place so chock full of people and then try to figure out a way to get in. I'm glad for the courage of these friends to their paralyzed friend who couldn't do it himself, clearly. They could have said, okay, we're just going to wait here for Jesus to move to us, but instead, they moved to Jesus. Let's move to Jesus. Let's be people that are determined and move towards Jesus and not wait for Jesus to come to us. And then the other thing, man, they had faith, right? They sure did know the answer to their problem, to their friend's problem. It wasn't even their problem. They took it on. I love that about them too, but anyway. They had faith. They knew, if we can just get him to Jesus, let's get him dropped in front of him, Jesus is going to take care of our friend. They had faith. They had to have amazing faith to get creative, overcome their obstacles, do something, dig a hole in a roof, and lower somebody down. What amazing faith they had. They knew that all the trouble that they were going through would in the end be worth it. They were going to get him in front of the guy who's going to take care of their problem. They were creative, they took action, and man, most of all, they had faith. So after all this talk of resolutions, I'm not a humongous resolution fan, just so you know. I did not do a New Year's resolution. I am not a New Year's resolution fan. But I am a fan of resolving throughout the entire year at any point in time to make changes and do something, to make a determined, firm decision, to be determined and unwavering to do something for God. That's what this body of believers, individually and as a whole group, we need to do this year. We need to find out what we need to do from talking to God. What decision do I need to make? Make that decision and then stick to it. Not be deterred. Be determined. Don't waver. Stay strong in what you know you need to do for God. I think sometimes the reason that we give up on any resolution, whether it's New Year or not, is because we make a mistake once. That's all it takes sometimes, is one mistake, and we're like, well, that's it. That didn't work. And then we just give up. We have to understand, and I want somebody in here needs to know, because this was the point that I really wanted to get to in my sermon, and I worked kind of backwards. Someone in here needs to know that it's okay if you mess up during the day. You need to hit the reset button for the next day. No matter what you've done, no matter where we are in the year or where you are in making that decision, hit the reset button. It's all right. We sometimes do fall short. We mess up. We don't get it right. But don't let one day, one bad day turn into two bad days, turn into a week, turn into a month of bad days. Just hit the reset button the next day. It's no problem. Jesus is still there. Go to him like these friends did. Go to him. Hit the reset button. Each and every day is a brand new day to make a decision, right? The promises are new every single morning. So whatever you need to resolve, whatever decision you need to make, whatever thing you need to do for God, be determined. Be unwavering. I'd love for us as Christians and as this a group of believers, as a church, boy, when people meet us, they're like, man, there's some determined people. When God tells them to do something, they don't stop. Like a dog with a bone, right? We're going to get it done no matter what. I would really love for us to think of resolutions throughout the whole entire year, but more like the early Christians and John Wesley's little group that he had together, to be spiritually better. Not about self-improvement, although self-improvement is nice and a lot of times God's involved with that, but man, take it deeper. Take it to a spiritual level. What can you do this year to make a decision and be determined for God? What firm decision can you make for God? Man, your life will be changed. Let's do everything daily, moment by moment, and not worry about, oh, well, I messed up. It's January 7th. I messed up, and I guess I'm off the hook until January 1st of next year. No, that's not how it works. Not how it works with God. Let's be like these friends. Let's be like these friends. These creative individuals who took action and had faith to help their friend out. The reason we even have the opportunity to do this, to have grace with ourselves and others, because that's grace. When you hit the reset button, you've given yourself grace, just FYI, is because of what Jesus did for us there. It all comes back to this. Comes back to this and the tomb that ended up being empty the third day. Hallelujah, right? And what I really want you to do is to remember what Jesus did so we can make some great, firm, awesome, determined, unwavering decisions for God and do the work that we need to do. Because he did this, we can live the way we want to as determined, unwavering people. I want you to be in prayer about what you need to do. There's a couple things here. You could either say, you know what, I'm as determined as they come, Pastor Jamie. Thanks for the message. It was nice and entertaining, but I'm good. Then pray about what you can do to show that to other people, how you can help other people, how you can be more like these friends. And if you are an undetermined kind of person, if you tend to give up easily, it's okay. talk to God about it this morning, how you can turn the corner and be a more determined individual, a more unwavering individual this year. I want you to spend time with God alone on your own, thinking about what you need to do to make a firm, determined, and unwavering decision for God.